We're going to talk about the late Tom Moran. Anyone who heads to Dublin, of course, will know of Moran's Red Cow Inn, and Tom was the man behind it. A native of Athay, just over the border in County Limerick, he was well known by many people here in Kerry and, of course, in his native West Limerick and all across the country. Many of you listening may have gone to dances in his country club that he ran in Kerry for a time, or many of the other pubs and hotels that he owned over the years here in Ireland and in the UK. Well, Tom Moran passed away last month at the age of 72, and he really had such a fascinating life. So who better to talk about the legacy of the late Tom Moran than his daughter, Tracy Moran Rousseau. Tracy, good evening. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Mary. I'm delighted to be here. It's a pleasure to chat with you today.
Well, look, thank you so much. And first of all, I'd like to offer my condolences on behalf of myself, everyone in Radio Kerry, and everyone in Kerry, because so many people would have known your father, Tom Moran, of the Red Cow Inn and of many other places over the years.
Absolutely. He certainly made a name for himself over the years. So, and the support has been absolutely incredible, both in Dublin and more recently when we did the Month's Mind back in Athay there last weekend. The outpouring has just been incredible. So a testament, I think, to Dad's character, personality and the type of man he was.
He had a phenomenal career, but maybe we might just start. You mentioned there Athay was where he was from originally, and he was a very proud Limerick man.
Very proud. He's one of seven. He was one of seven. So he had his three brothers, Michael, who I think everybody would know, Michael Moran, who's based in Limerick there in Corbally, and his sisters, Joan, Helen and Mary. His two brothers predeceased are Sean and Patrick. So, you know, a huge family. Kathy, again, who everybody would have known, Nanny Olcock, as the grandkids like to refer her, was just a legend in her own right. Even after Dad moved from Limerick over to London to start his working career, he never lost his ties. You know, it was very important to him to come home. And indeed, when he decided in his early 30s to move lock, stock and barrel back to Limerick, it was with a view to moving home. And that was the plan.
Just about his background then, about coming from West Limerick, you mentioned his mother there, Kathy. She unfortunately was widowed at a young age. Your father was only six when his own father died.
That's right. So, I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what that was like. I suppose as somebody who's just recently been widowed, I've got three children and it's, you know, it's pretty devastating. But three children, whereas Nan had seven. And indeed, Auntie Helen was only a couple of weeks old. So I can't even begin to imagine what that was like. But again, she was, you know, she was a strong character. She was a strong personality. And she just never gave up and never gave in and just moved on. And her children were just a testament to her, I think, and how they made their lives a success in all of the careers that they took on from there out.
He started off, he was schooled locally and then he started doing a bit of work in the stole, but then moved on to London then at a young age following his brothers.
He did. He did a carpentry apprenticeship and actually created the table that sits in Nan's kitchen. And incredibly, when we opened our restaurant up at the Red Cow Moran Hotel, we opened Tom's table and it was linking in. It was the importance of family conversation, family dining, family communication. And we linked in the fact that Dad had made that table back in the kitchen in Athay by creating something similar that, you know, I suppose reflected the values around the importance of family. So, you know, he was very much a hands-on person. He was never afraid to try something new. He grew up very quickly, probably because his dad had passed away. Seeing his brothers emigrate to London, I think, spurred him on, you know, to get going, you know. So he was very young going to the UK and kind of got stuck in very quickly.
There's a phenomenal story I read since your father passed away that at the age of 19, he secured a brewery license to run a pub. I think he let the brewery believe he was 23, but he reckons he was one of the youngest ever pub licensees in the UK.
Absolutely. He just, as I said, he matured very quickly. He, you know, he was an older man before his time and he definitely had, you know, a vision beyond his years. He didn't let any obstacle get in his way, including his age, which is why he was so young.
When he met and married your mother, they ran a number of pubs together.
They did. Dad and Mom, I suppose, started dating, got very serious very quickly. And they took on the lease at the Tulsil Tavern, which is where Tommy, Karen, Michael and myself were born before we moved. And that was the pub that we had before we moved to Limerick.
And they had bought a number of flats as well and were renting them out, I suppose, building up that nest egg to allow them to move home, to move the family back to Ireland.
That's it. So, you know, what I think is actually incredible is that Dad was only in his 30s. And it wasn't, I suppose, his theory behind moving home was that he was actually moving home to retire. You know, he'd worked very hard from he was in his early teens. building up his bit of a stash to be able to move home comfortably and to be able to retire effectively. But he kicked back in and he bought the pub in Athay. He bought Carrig, which was the country club. And he literally started all over again and got stuck into the country music scene. He got it was like a one-stop shop. I suppose the value that we got from growing up, for me, I just absolutely loved seeing and experiencing and being involved in all the big country music acts that used to come and perform on the stage. The likes of Philomena Begley used to sit and have cups of tea with mum in the kitchen. T.R. Dallas brought me on stage and sang Daddy's Girl to me. So it was an incredible upbringing. There was values, I suppose, that we all got from it because, you know, we all mucked in. There was the shop and the pub and the post office. And indeed, there was an undertaking business as well. So we all had our jobs. My brother Michael likes to refer to it as child labour. but I don't think any of us would find a problem with, I suppose, setting those values young. And I think it was very important to us as we grew up to recognise the value of hard work and to recognise the input that everybody can have in making something a success.
Your father was planning to move the family into Limerick City, but plans changed then and he ended up buying the Red Cow Inn on the Naas Road in Dublin.
Yes, it was a bit of a whirlwind. There was conversations being had around the family table about the next stages. It was the drink driving laws had come in, Anish, there was, you know, reduced labour and all the rest of it that was contributing to less of a footfall coming out to the music hall. I suppose Dad started looking around at other opportunities and we discussed, you know, where to move to next, and the opportunity to move to Limerick City was on the cards, and that was what we were going to do. And he was going to create a super pub before there were super pubs. A friend of his, Jerry Foley, convinced him to come up and see a property that he had come across in Dublin, namely the Red Cow Inn. Knowing what the two lads would be like, I suppose Mum was a bit dubious about sending Dad and Jerry off to Dublin. She and my brother Tommy actually went with them. When Dad had a look at what the property was all about, had a look at the books, had a look at what was involved, to him it was a no-brainer. And he put up the hand and started bidding at the auction. And I don't think there was anyone more surprised than himself and Mum and Tommy that the bid was successful. And he was the proud new owner of the Red Cow. And indeed, it broke the news headlines at the time as the first pub in the country to sell for over £1 million at the time. We were still back at home in the shop getting the evening newspaper and read, as they say, read all about it and discovered that we weren't going to Limerick City, we were actually moving to Dublin. So yeah, a big whirlwind, as they say.
Absolutely. And when you did move to Dublin, then you went on to acquire a number of other pubs around Dublin.
Yeah, so I suppose pubs were what Dad knew, food and beverage and hospitality. So he started to expand the portfolio. We had obviously the Red Cow Inn. We had the Playwright, which was a magnificent property. So he bought the Playwright in Blackrock. He also had a really fun night spot in Blackrock Village called the Mad Hatter. And we also had a property in the village. So he bought what we later renamed as Barock, which was in Clondalkin Village. So then I suppose he started looking a little bit further afield, and I might be off in my sequence and my timelines, but we purchased the Pier House out in Skerries. So it was kind of, you know, expansion, growing the pubs. And then he took a sort of redirect, and the idea was to build the bedrooms at the Red Cow. There was options to build above the Red Cow Inn, but Dad decided he wanted to build a standalone hotel. At the time, as I recall it, there was plenty of cynicism about building a 4-star hotel as he had planned around the location. It just took off incredibly as soon as it was built, given its location and given, I suppose, its access to all areas of Dublin and the country. Once he'd built the Red Cow, I suppose he got a taste for hospitality in a different way. So it was the accommodation side. So he had bought the Crown Pub, a very sentimental building in that, you know, he would have frequented it. He would have been very familiar with it as a young lad going over to London. So he bought the Crown Pub. And again, I suppose once we built the hotel at the Red Cow, the idea was then to build a hotel at the Crown. So we built the hotel adjoins the actual pub. So that, I suppose, sparked, you know, lots of changes. We'd bought the Silver Springs in Cork as well. And with all of that, we had decided, I suppose, to offload the portfolio of pubs. It made sense to grow the hotels, so we sold the pubs.
He went on to buy the Bewley's hotels in Dublin and the UK.
Yes, at that stage, we had the 4 Moran hotels. So we had the Crown Moran in London. We obviously had the Red Cow Moran in Dublin. We had the Silver Springs in Cork and the Chiswick Moran also in London. So we had the 4 Moran hotels, and an opportunity came up to purchase Bewley's And they were the six hotels across Dublin, Leeds and Manchester. So four in Ireland and two in the UK. Again, another huge big whirlwind, a massive undertaking, you know, to go from four hotels to 10 hotels was absolutely phenomenal. So we had a couple of really exciting years growing, redeveloping, you know, changing the dynamic of Bewley's. Bewley's was very much the same rate, same room every night. So we developed, increased the offering, improved some of the services and added to the services and amenities that were involved.
That continued then until the majority of hotels, bar the Red Cow Moran Hotel, were bought by the Dalata Group.
That's right. So we sold the portfolio of nine hotels in 2014. Never a family to sit back for too long. We set about immediately upgrading the Red Cow, extending it, and we built on an additional block at the Red Cow, which I think has become quite iconic. So the property went from 123 bedrooms to 305. So quite an expansion.
Absolutely. And I suppose it was around that time too, was it? Your dad had an incident when he was in Spain. He had a stroke.
Dad had gone to Spain for a friend's family wedding and he had a stroke as he was walking, and the stroke caused him to fall. So he subsequently hit his head and acquired quite a serious brain injury. So to say that that was a tumultuous time would be an understatement. He didn't get the best prognosis out in Spain. In fact, they didn't actually think he would make it back to Dublin. So he spent 6 weeks in a coma. But he just, like, I suppose Dad has always been a battler. He's always been a fighter. He's never been somebody to give up. So he made it back to Dublin and he actually came out of the coma officially arriving into Dublin. So he opened his eyes for the first time. I suppose he had a long road of recovery and he certainly was impacted. We gained him for 6.5 years, which I think we'll all be grateful for.
Absolutely. And after he did recover after that huge incident, he actually abseiled off the roof of the Red Cow Moran Hotel to raise funds for charity.
He did. Like, I'm very proud to have been involved in two huge initiatives for charity. First one was actually the Tomathon. When Dad was made Limerick Man of the Year, he really wanted to do something to put his status to good use. So we came up with a plan between us that he would walk from the village of Athay up to Dublin. And we did it on behalf of, or to raise funds for Pieta. Dad was passionate, I suppose, about raising awareness in regards to suicide. As somebody who's always wanted to do stuff, to give back, to get involved, and really passionate about charity, you know, he really wanted to say thank you to St. James Hospital as well for, you know, the care that he received while he was with them. So we thought we can't top the Tomathon by doing the same again. We had to come up with a new plan. And I think it was Michael, actually, that came up with the idea of doing an abseil. So we abseiled off the top story of the new block at the Red Cow Moran Hotel. And we raised 200,000 for St. James Hospital, which we're absolutely so proud to have been able to do.
That's fantastic. And talking about giving back, of course, it would be remiss of me not to mention Limerick GAA. Your father obviously had a love for his home of County Limerick and supported the Limerick GAA team for a long time.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. I mean, he was so passionate and right up until the very end. It didn't matter how immobile he got towards the end. You know, he was going to be at the matches. He loved his hurling, loved his football, was very proud of the lads that he supported. And it was, you know, it's an incredible passion. I see my own young lad, Noah, who's turning 12 next month. We've been over here in South Africa and he's wearing his Limerick jersey very proudly. So he's been wearing that more than he's been wearing anything else. So again, it was the value that Dad brought to, or the value that he had around staying true to his community and staying true to the sport and Limerick, that was very true to his heart.
Mm-hmm. And Tracy, just with regards to yourselves and the family, there are a number of you working within the business now.
Sadly, my second youngest brother, Sean, passed away coming up to 6 years this September. So there were seven siblings and we all have some hand or part to play in terms of the running and the operation of the hotel. So four of us, I suppose, are active day to day. Tommy, the eldest, Karen, my sister, Michael, my brother, and myself. So the four of us would be actively involved. And then Stephen, my brother, is a barrister at law. And my brother, Brendan, who moved back from London there a couple of years ago, is also in the legal side of things. So yeah, so a big family, but all very, very engaged, very hands-on, very involved, and very, very proud to work with them, socialise with them, and have them to fall back on.
Okay, well, Tracy, I know you mentioned it there. You are in South Africa at the moment. I'd just like to offer my condolences to you and your family again on the loss of your own husband recently. It's been a very difficult time, I'm sure, for yourself and all of the family and your own children indeed.
Thank you, Mary. Yes, nothing prepares you, certainly for the loss of a loved one, certainly not for the loss of your husband. I have three kids, but then losing my dad as well so close to it has been, I'm repeating myself saying whirlwind, but it has been quite difficult, yes. But I have to acknowledge the support that the community and that my family, that everybody has given me in, I suppose, dealing with the last few months.
Okay, well, look, Tracy, I really do appreciate you talking to us, in these difficult circumstances. Again, my condolences to you on the loss of both your father and your husband. And look, thank you so much for talking to us.
An absolute pleasure, Mary. Thank you so much.